Hey. So I'm Dr. Schiff Bauer. I work at Virginia Eye Consultants. I went to NECO and graduated in 2016. And then I went on to complete my residency in Atlanta at Omni Eye Services with Dr. Paula Jamian. And then from there I moved up to Virginia to Virginia Eye Consultants. So we're a referral center, also a dry eye center of excellence. So there's about 17 providers in the practice consisting of both MDs and ODs. We also have two residents, and then we also get some externs throughout the year too as well. But we have specialists in every different area, glaucoma, retina, oculoplastics, cataracts, and cornea. So fortunate to be able to work there along many different specialists. There's a big variety of patients that we do see. So it consists of post-ops, whether it be cataract surgery post-ops, it may be a glaucoma such as a MIGS procedure or tube shunt, and even some retina surgeries will see them for their post-op 1 days. Also, we just see glaucoma follow-ups in general. We also see a lot of the emergency patients or the work-in patients where that can range from foreign bodies. It can range from someone that has a red eye, and then also, as we're talking about today, even flashes and floaters in the practice. Other things that I do just throughout the daily basis also help mentor the residents and the externs. Like I said, right now we have two residents, and then we actually are fortunate to have three externs right now. And then I'm involved in a little bit of some research. I primarily work out at the satellite office, so I get an array of different patients. Like I said, my day kind of varies throughout the day. I'm not just seeing just post-ops 1 day, and then ERs and next is a good range. So I basically kind of base it on the patient's complaints. I ask them, this is something that's affecting your daily life, or has it gotten any worse over time? I mean, there's many patients that I see that's a like you had mentioned the same floater. I see it every day. Most of the time, these patients are able to tolerate it okay. But I've had a couple of patients where I can't stand this anymore. It's affecting my job. It's affecting like what I like to do for fun. And then at that point, I'll get them over to see the retina specialist. I kind of talk to them about their options in terms of what we're doing in our practice to let them know. And sometimes when I do explain to them what we're doing, they kind of get a little bit more hesitant in terms of proceeding with that. So I basically, just look at the overall patient, look at their complaints, and see where they are in their daily life activities. Yeah, I definitely agree. Ironically, yesterday I just had a patient. She had said that she had floaters for many years, and I kind of probed her. Thinking about this conversation, I asked her. I was like, "Oh, does this bother you?" Or she's like, "Oh, no, I just live with it." But 2 patients later, I had another patient who's like, "I just have a bunch of floaters. This is really bothering me." As you had mentioned, it's affecting my ability to drive. I can't read. I can't sew like I used to. So it definitely varies patient by patient. So we're fortunate to have two retina specialists at our practice. Both of them right now, they're only doing vitrectomies for floaters. There's other practices just nationally that are also offering the vitreolysis with the YAG laser procedure. So in our specific practice, what a typical patient that has complaints of floaters, if a patient was a new patient walked in or an existing patient that has the new complaint of the floaters, what we would do is we dilate them, check the back of the eye. Just main thing is we're ruling out any tears, breaks, or detachments in the retina. And, you know, tell them what we find. So whether it be just a vitreous detachment or potentially a vitreous hemorrhage. If they do have just a vitreous detachment, I usually bring them back in about a month's time, check it again, make sure there's no new tears or breaks in the retina. And then at that point, I kind of gauge them and tell them what our options are. So I say right now, our retina specialists are only offering a surgical procedure to remove the floaters. And our typical protocol is that we typically say to wait a couple months to see if they're able to adapt to the floater. And I would say a majority of these patients are. So I say they don't usually want to see you right away when you're having the floaters. They want you to wait about 3 to 4 months. And if it's still bothering you, we can get you over to the retina specialist. Now, there are certain situations where a patient is very, very bothered by the floater, and I may get them over earlier to the retina specialist. I had a patient that I saw back just about a month ago, and she was kind of hesitant as to whether or not to proceed with that evaluation with the retina specialist. And what I'm going to end up doing is just checking her back in 3 months myself and then kind of gauging her from there if she wants to proceed with vitrectomy surgery. But a lot of patients, especially when you say surgery, kind of freeze in the exam room because as soon as they hear that, they think of everything that can go wrong versus everything that can go right with the procedure. The vitrectomy surgery itself is not as invasive as it would be for someone that has a TRD or a vitreous hemorrhage or even a macular hole. So I actually had a patient, one of the patients I saw yesterday, actually, that I was talking to her about getting the vitrectomy done. And she's like, oh, am I going to have to lay with my face down for a couple weeks? And I was like, oh, no, that's completely different surgery for a different, the same surgery, but for a different condition. So I think, you know, that may be something that runs through our patient's mind that we don't necessarily explain all the way in the exam room. But with the vitrectomy for the floaters, usually a retina specialist just do an air exchange. And then we typically will see them for their 1 day post-op. Their vision's going to be pretty blurry. And by the next week or two, their vision's starting to clear up a lot. Yeah, I definitely think it's improved throughout the years in terms of the vitrectomy procedure. We've had a couple of patients. I think our retina specialists are a little bit more leery to do someone a vitrectomy surgery in someone that's a phakic patient versus a pseudophakic patient, just because of the increased risk with getting the cataract. And potentially, if they do have a small cataract in the eye, then if that cataract gets aggravated by the surgery itself, causing extra inflammation, which can lead to an elevated pressure in the eye. But I would say overall, this is a relatively safe procedure now. They typically say about 80% of these retina surgeries are successful in terms of just any procedure for any condition. But as you mentioned, there's always the complications that can potentially occur from the vitrectomy. So we always inform the patients that even though we're removing the floaters, you can actually get worse floaters, whether it happens to be a hemorrhage in the back of the eye. It may lead to a break or tear in the retina, which can lead to a potential retinal detachment. Fortunately, all the patients that I've seen with the vitrectomy procedure haven't had any issues. They're all very satisfied after they've had the vitrectomy removed. But it's something that you just definitely want to educate your patients on to make sure that they're aware that even though this is hopefully removing your floaters, there's always a risk for complications as well. Yes, correct. And, like I said, most of the time the patients have, I always tell them, especially if they're pseudophakic, that this is a little bit more invasive of a surgery than it is for cataract surgery. And then just letting them know that. And like I said, sometimes some of them get a little wide-eyed or kind of freeze in the exam room. But, any surgery, unfortunately, can lead to blindness, whether it be cataract surgery or retina surgery. But like I said, most of the patients that want to go ahead and proceed with the surgery, we do wait a couple months to see if they're able to adapt to the floater and not notice it as much, and that they're able to still adjust to their lifestyle activities. So very similar to a vitrectomy too as well. So the main thing with the YAG laser is potentially getting a retinal break or tear, even a detachment. If the patient's phakic, once again, it may cause damage to the lens itself, or even just the pseudophakic, it can cause damage to the IOL. And some of these patients might actually get an elevated IOP. Now, obviously, this procedure is nowhere close to being as invasive as a vitrectomy would be, but there's still the risk, and I still think that's something to bring up to your patients. But also when you're examining someone that has the complaints of floaters, and when you're letting them know the options, patients are very apt to going straight to the web and Googling what can be done about the floater. So I think it's important that they know about this vitreolysis, and then also just knowing what the retina specialists in the area that you practice in offer. So as I mentioned, at our practice, we don't offer the vitreolysis currently. I was actually doing a little bit research myself because primarily we've been telling patients that there hasn't been anyone in the area doing vitreolysis. And I actually got on a certain website that promotes the vitreolysis, and there's actually one retina specialist in the area that does it where I live. But just in general, in Virginia, there's only about 10 practices that are offering this as a procedure. And it was interesting to see a map just nationwide, and there's very few practices that offer it. Just talking to a couple of different retina specialists around the area, I think they're just more comfortable with just doing the vitrectomy, which is something that they've been trained on multiple times. They found good success in the surgery, and this is just something that's making its way. But I definitely think it's important to educate your patients about this procedure because, like I said, this is something that's less invasive than what a vitrectomy would be. Yeah, I definitely agree. So there's definitely some variance between how the patient's satisfaction after this procedure. The earlier study that you were talking about with the 93% of patients being satisfied, which was done by Dr. Singh up in Wisconsin, and he actually has a great video kind of showing what the vitreolysis would be. But during that procedure, they're actually trying to break up the floaters into smaller fragments. But as you mentioned, the study by Dr. Shaw had only said about 70 to 80% had noticed improvement. And even the, wait, did you say 70 to 80? Sorry, I just looked at that. 54. Okay, that was okay. They said 70-80% just looking at the patient. Okay, can we repeat that or restart that? Oh, okay. So with the study with Dr. Shaw, as you had mentioned, you know, only about a little bit over half of the patients were satisfied with after the results. But even when they examined the patients, they said that there was a great improvement in the amount of floaters that they were actually seeing, which I thought was very interesting. I think it's also something that you need to look over, like look at the overall patient and see what their job or their hobbies may be, as some patients may be a little bit more sensitive to certain things that are being done. Now, I've actually had the chance to just talk to Dr. Singh about the vitreolysis, and he is very, very satisfied. He does it in a lot of his patients. And like his studies have shown that there's 93% of improvement, even though they may still have some floaters in the eye itself. Correct. I definitely agree. And just looking, you know, and looking at the studies, I think there's some wide variance. I think it's important to tell your patients that too, as well, that, you know, we can start with the vitreolysis, and then, you know, this, some patients do really well with this, others do not. And, you know, letting them know that the next step may have to be surgery to actually remove the vitreous, which I also think is one of the reasons why some of the retina specialists are just heading straight to vitrectomy. They're skipping a step in the process, that they're not having to do the laser procedure first and then head to the operating room. But just letting some patients know that that option is out there is great. One thing with the vitreolysis I will bring up, that it's key that the treatment zone, that they're aiming the laser in the right area, because if they don't aim the laser in the right area, that can actually cause more of the complications and increase that risk to the patients. Yeah, great question. So I will specifically tell them what we're doing in our practice, and but I will let them know that the laser procedure is out there and tell them that there's very few physicians right now that are actually doing this procedure. But as I mentioned, many of them will turn to WebMD or another source on the internet to look up to see what the treatment is for this. And even when I was just Googling it myself, just overall to see what was coming up, this procedure does pop up pretty early on in the search. And I think if we're not educating our patients fully about the procedures that are available, there's going to be a little bit of the rapport with the patient, and potentially they may have some questions about that. But I typically tell them what we're doing in our practice, and then we'll say that, you know, there is some retinal specialists that are doing vitreolysis. There's very, very few in the area. And then just same thing, tell them about the risks and the benefits with both of those two as well. And I would say overall, there's not a lot of questions about the laser procedure. The surgery, like I said, working with the retina surgeons in our practice, patients will get a little bit more hesitant about it. But overall, I think if you're just educating them upfront about it, I think there's more rapport to be built with that patient. Yes, I definitely agree on that. So they can reach out to me just via email is great. It's perfectly fine. My email is just jschiffbauer one at gmail.com, and I'm more than welcome to answering any questions or concerns that you may have from patients specifically about this procedure or even the vitrectomy in itself as well.